Will you join me in prayer for the opening message? Gracious God, open our hearts and our minds to receive your message this day. In your holy name we pray. Amen. So we are continuing in our sermon series, Have You Seen Him? And exploring how we have experienced and find Jesus in our lives. Last week, Pastor Dick kicked us off by asking, where are we looking when we look for Jesus? He told us that we can find Jesus when we look in the people of God. We can find Jesus where people are being the body of Christ. And we can find Jesus when he tells us to go forth, even if it means going beyond our comfort zones to minister to all. And I believe that as we continue to seek ways to experience Jesus in new ways, and as we find those moments where we experience his presence, we have to remember that Jesus sees us. Now, this is not a sort of, he knows when we are sleepy, he knows when we are awake, he knows when we've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. Had to follow that through. It's not that sort of type of seeing us. Jesus sees all of us, yes, the good and the bad. But more than that, Jesus knows us. And Jesus seeks us as we seek him. Our relationship with the Savior requires that we have a certain vulnerability to allow him to see all of us and to make sure that we make ourselves seen. Because once we know that Jesus sees us, it can be a transforming experience in our lives. And we remember that as we read how Jesus sees the Samaritan woman at the well. This piece of scripture is quite fascinating as we watch Jesus breaking all sorts of convention to have a theological discussion with a Samaritan woman. Now, as Jesus traveled back to Galilee, he decided to cut through Samaria. And for centuries, there had been a dispute between the Jewish people and the Samaritans. The Jewish people saw the Samaritans as outcasts and tried to avoid them. The Samaritans followed only the first five books of their Hebrew Bible, and they disagreed with the Jewish people about where the proper place of worship should be, claiming that it was not in Jerusalem. And this created this giant rift between the two groups of people. So Jewish people would avoid Samaritans to avoid any sort of ritual contamination. Yet, we find that Jesus and his travels stopped in the Samaritan region at this well, where he engaged in a conversation with the unnamed Samaritan woman. Now, it was not proper for a Jewish man to strike up a conversation with an unknown and unaccompanied woman. It was especially not proper if she was a Samaritan. Jesus sort of threw these rules out the window because he saw that she needed something. And as Jesus engaged in conversation with this woman, we find that he really kind of puts himself in a vulnerable situation. Here he is at noon. He's thirsty and probably tired from walking. And he's approaching a well without a bucket of his own. And he asks for help from this woman. Now, she could have said no and ignored him. But instead, she was curious about what this Jewish man had to say and about his invitation of living water. So she continued the conversation. And as I thought about this encounter and I thought about how we have seen Jesus, it made me think about just how much Jesus sees us. This conversation with a Samaritan woman could have been a simple request for some water, and she could have, like I said, ignored him or offered him a drink, and then both of them would have been on their way. But Jesus saw more in her and saw that she indeed was in need of a change in her life, the kind of transforming change that comes with the living water only that he can offer. Jesus saw the woman, and as I thought about her encounter, it made me think that in our own encounters with the Savior, we should realize that he sees us as well and knows that we too need this living water. So here are five thoughts I had about the encounters we have with Jesus and how he sees us as he saw the Samaritan woman. First, Jesus sees us and engages us in surprising ways. The woman who went to get her water probably had no idea that she would encounter the Messiah and would be offered living water. It probably started off like any other ordinary day for her, but yet she encountered a thirsty stranger who asked her for something to drink. She encountered a surprising opportunity to break down cultural norms as she responded to his request and engaged him in conversation. As I said before, she could have ignored him, since a Jewish man wasn't supposed to interact with her, but she continued to speak to the stranger. And Jesus surprised her by just initiating a conversation with her as he met her at the well. And as they spoke, she learned more about this stranger. She discovered that he knew a lot more about her, making her realize that this stranger could have been a prophet. And as more things started to click for her, she realized that this stranger could have been the Messiah. As she learned all of this, she discovered that she too wanted to be a part of what he was offering her. And after her conversation with Jesus, she wanted others to meet him so that they could see the Messiah. As I said, this ordinary day for the Samaritan woman turned into an extraordinary day when she had this surprising encounter with Jesus. And we have moments of surprise in our own faith journeys where Jesus sees us and engages us, either in a worship service, a meaningful prayer time, in the silence as we drive to work, through a meaningful conversation with a friend. There are moments when Jesus sees us and surprises us when we don't expect it. And we have to be open to the conversation and vulnerable to allow him to reach out to us. As many of you know, that the youth went to Revolution last week, and on many of these trips, the most powerful moment is when you see the Spirit in worship and see as hundreds of youth realize that Jesus sees them and wants to engage in a relationship with them. They may feel overlooked by friends or even family, and at Revolution and other worship places, they are offered this chance to accept that Jesus sees them and wants them to be part of something greater. They have these surprising encounters with Jesus. Our surprise encounters don't necessarily have to be big mountain worship moments. They can be encountered in still and silent moments. And they can be still just as surprising to feel the presence of Christ show up when we least expect it. My second thought is, Jesus sees us and seeks us when we may not want to be found. The Samaritan woman chose to go alone at noon to collect her water. Most of the people who gathered water would do so in the morning, in the cool of the day, or when there were others around. But this woman chose to go out and avoid the crowds, the onlookers. And perhaps it could have been because she had heard people talk about her reputation or past relationships. It may have been one of those days where she just didn't want to be bothered at all. Sort of like those days when you just want to go to the store without hair done or your makeup on. Inevitably, you run into five people who know you and see you. And you just didn't want to be bothered at all at Target. You just wanted to go in, do your shopping, but you know, it happens. Whatever her reasoning was, the Samaritan woman seemed like she didn't want to be seen or found, which is exactly when Jesus knew that she needed to know that she had been seen. And I think sometimes we may not want to be seen either by a community of believers or our family or our friends, or maybe even seen by Jesus. We want to isolate ourselves, thinking that would be the best solution to deal with whatever problem we may be facing. But we should know that we cannot hide from the love of Christ. Jesus sees us and wants to offer his living water, his love, and his grace as a way for us to find transformation in what he offers. My third thought is, Jesus sees us and knows us. After the woman requests to have the living water that Jesus offered to her, Jesus tells her to bring her husband. And this is when we learn a little bit more about the Samaritan woman. She tells Jesus that she doesn't have a husband. And Jesus says, "You're right, you've had five, and the one now is not your husband." Let's pause here. Collect your initial reactions about hearing those kind of things. Because as I dug around from commentators in my study for this passage, something occurred to me. We hear Jesus say, "No, you've had five. Now, what were your initial reactions?" In our heads, we may think, "What has she been up to?" And then Jesus drops another truth bomb by saying the man she's with now is not her husband. Yikes! And we start speculating that this woman may have been a little promiscuous. The reason that she's avoiding the crowds is because she doesn't want to generate any more gossip or any shame about her life. However, we're not told the exact details of her circumstance or the pain she could have been dealing with. This is something only the Savior would know about her heart. Her husbands could have died. Her husbands could have divorced her or abandoned her. This could be a case if they found out that she was barren and they would want nothing to do with her. If her husband had died, it would have been a common thing for the brother of the deceased man to marry his sister-in-law. So that could have been in the arrangement at the time. Her situation could be far more complex or tragic than we assume. If she were barren or had five failed relationships, she may have been outcast and even seen as being cursed. People may have purposefully wanted to avoid her so they wouldn't catch her bad luck. Or she may have wanted to avoid people because she knew how they would talk about her. And she may have been hiding because she was ashamed for being a failure. So carrying that sort of pain and baggage to the well, she meets a man who sees her and knows her. So the tone of Jesus' comment, "You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband," could have been less judging or accusatory and more sympathetic or compassionate for her sad circumstance. If we get caught up in the morality of the woman's situation, we miss this opportunity to see that Jesus sees her, knows her, and doesn't tell her that she's hopeless or that she'll be rejected. Jesus simply shows her that he indeed knows her and knows that he can offer something to her that will make her feel fulfilled. And we may feel moments in our lives where we think we are failures. We may be embarrassed by the circumstances in our lives that may be beyond our control. We may feel ashamed about the things we have said and done. And we may let these things prevent us from feeling that we can approach Jesus. However, we have to realize that Jesus sees us and knows us. Jesus knows our hearts and still calls us to join him. Jesus still sees hope in us when we may not. And Jesus invites us to be a part of something that will fulfill our lives as nothing else will. Which leads me to my next point. Jesus sees us and finds value in us when we don't think we're worthy. So regardless of why the woman had so many husbands, you can imagine that what any of those situations would do to her self-esteem. Abandonment, promiscuity, loss. You could see how she may feel disappointed in her life. You can imagine what that would do to a person's idea of their own self-worth. They may not feel valued or worthy of any sort of gift. Yet Jesus looked at her like he looks at us and sees something worth saving. Jesus finds value in us and invites us to receive the living water that will bring us eternal life. He sees beyond what we have done and offers forgiveness and redemption. His living water brings about renewal and eternal life with him. And my last thought, Jesus sees us and offers us something amazing. In their conversation, the woman starts to pick up that there is something special about this Jewish man. She assumes that he is a prophet when he reveals that he knows more about her. Then as he tells her that the hour is coming when they will no longer have to worry about where they worship, but they will experience the Father in brand new ways and that salvation is coming, she starts to realize that this could be the Messiah. She received the message of salvation in her living water. When we think about our spiritual relationship with Jesus, we need to understand that it brings more than just a friend, a guide. A relationship with Jesus means that we will never thirst for the things in our life that we think will quench our needs and our desires. We are offered salvation, eternal life with Christ. The living water we receive renews us and reconciles us to the Father. This is something truly amazing. And Jesus sees us and wants us to receive this living water that he offers to us. When the Samaritan woman starts putting all of the things that they have discussed together in her mind, she knows she has to tell others. So she leaves her water jar behind, leaving the task that she was tasked to do, and sort of leaving her old ways to make sure others knew what had happened, what she was told. She shares a conversation that she had with the Messiah, and the people leave to meet this person. And as a result of her sharing about her experience, they too were curious to see what he could offer. And as a result of meeting this Jewish stranger, they encounter the transforming living water of Jesus Christ and believe that he was their Savior. Praise team, you can mosey on up. Just as Jesus saw the Samaritan woman at the well, he sees us. Jesus sees us and engages us in surprising ways when we least expect it and often need it the most. Jesus sees us when we don't want to be seen, because we cannot hide from his love and grace. Jesus sees us and knows us, all the good and the bad. And Jesus sees us and still finds a lot of value in who we are. And Jesus sees us and offers us something greater in our lives. Have we seen him? Because he sure has seen us. And he wants us to be fulfilled by what he has to offer, so that we can turn away from the world and our old patterns and be renewed by what he has to offer us. He also wants us to go forth and share this so that others can partake in the living water that he provides. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, we give you thanks for finding us at the well. And we ask that you open our hearts, our eyes, and our minds so that they were more able to see you when you are reaching out to us. Allow us to be bold and courageous as we share with others the power of this living water that you provide. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray, Amen.